Wisdom cries aloud in the streets. In the markets she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates she speaks. Have you met Lady Wisdom? Solomon personifies wisdom from above as a woman who cries aloud in the streets and raises her voice in the marketplace. In that way, she is not afraid to go public with her faith. She reminds us that the public square is exactly where our faith belongs and is most needed. Wide-ranging is the application of Proverbs to commerce, the courts, and to City Hall. The fool is the person who tries to silence Lady Wisdom's voice. I'm Ron Jones. Something good starts right now.
Years ago, there was a television commercial for an investment firm that used the tagline, "When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen." The idea was that their advisors were wise in the area of personal finance. Hello and welcome to Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. And I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for stopping by. Well, the Bible has a lot to say about wisdom. And one of the first things we find in the book of Proverbs is that when Lady Wisdom talks, it's a good idea to listen. Coming up next, Ron takes us to Proverbs chapter 1 as he continues his series, Wise Sayings, Guidance for Everyday Life. Stop by somethinggoodradio.org to listen to the broadcast on demand. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Subscribe to the program at Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, here's Ron with today's Something Good radio message. Straight talk for Mr. Smarty Pants.
How many of you have ever met a guy named SpongeBob SquarePants? He's a pretty excitable guy there, isn't he? Part of an animated series on the Nickelodeon channel created by a marine biologist named Steven Hillenburg. SpongeBob is a lovable, excitable, mostly optimistic sea sponge. Problem is, he looks like kind of an everyday sponge you'd find in your kitchen. Therefore, he wears square pants. That's how he got his name. Believe it or not, the animated series has won all kinds of awards, and SpongeBob SquarePants is kind of a celebrity. He appears in places like the Thanksgiving Macy's Day Parade as a big helium balloon. I mean, he's big stuff. He's made it big, big time. And SpongeBob, as you might know, lives in the sea. And he has some friends down there in the sea, like a guy named Patrick Starr. Patrick Starr is a starfish, a rather dim-witted starfish, although he thinks he's intelligent. He thinks he's very intelligent. He lives under a rock, and that's kind of beside the point, but Patrick thinks he's a very, very intelligent sea star. And SpongeBob has a lot of other friends like that are not the brightest lights on the street, but one of them is called Squidward Tentacles, another Plankton, Mr. Krabs, Larry the Lobster. I mean, it's a pretty entertaining kind of animated series. I really don't watch it, but my son does, and sometimes I'm wondering what in the world is going on in his brain. He's watching SpongeBob SquarePants. But SpongeBob is not the kind of guy that is going to communicate a lot of wisdom. You're not going to find a lot of wisdom on SpongeBob SquarePants. And you're not going to find Mr. SquarePants in the pages of the book of Proverbs. But I think we're going to meet his equally feeble-minded cousin named Mr. Smarty Pants. Actually, a trio of Smarty Pants that we meet in the book of Proverbs. Their names are the Simple, the Scoffer, and the Fool. And we're also going to meet in the text that we're looking at today, Proverbs 1, verses 20 through 33, we're going to meet somebody named Lady Wisdom. I love the way Solomon communicates creatively with his son. Remember, this is in part, the book of Proverbs is a parenting guide. He's instructing the next generation, his son or sons who might become king of Israel. And Solomon will do anything to get this truth into the hearts of his kids, even personifying wisdom from above as a virtuous woman. And that's where we get the idea of Lady Wisdom. She appears several times in the book of Proverbs, and she gives at least three speeches, three messages, one that is found in Proverbs chapter 1, another one in Proverbs chapter 8, yet another one in Proverbs chapter 9. And when Lady Wisdom speaks, well, kids, we need to listen up. We need to listen up. There's an investment firm on Wall Street that used to advertise their services by saying, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. Well, I hope that's true about Lady Wisdom. When Lady Wisdom speaks, we need to listen up. And what I want us to do is, before we dive into her speech, I want to go to the end of her message here and take a look at her summary statement. Here's what she says in verses 32 and 33. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. We'll come back to that summary at the end and read it again, but I think that's a good place for us to start and to think about several ways we need to respond to Lady Wisdom when she speaks. The first I've already alluded to, and that's to listen to her cry. Look at it in verse 22 and verse 23. Solomon writes, "Wisdom cries aloud in the streets, in the markets she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets she cries aloud, at the entrance of the city gates she speaks." This is a picture of Lady Wisdom going into the streets, into the noisy places, into the marketplaces. Kind of reminds me of the old Doobie Brothers song, "Taking It to the Streets." That's what Lady Wisdom is doing. She's taking her message to the streets. Oh, she has a message and even a mission inside the home. We know that as a parenting guide and as Solomon is instructing his next generation, his sons. But Lady Wisdom's message is so important, it can't be contained just within the walls of a single household. She is taking it to the streets, as it were. She's not waiting for somebody to come to her and ask her about her faith and about her wisdom. She is aggressively, she is proactively taking it to the streets. In fact, one commentator says, Lady Wisdom is no gentle persuader. She shouts, pleads, scolds, reasons, threatens, warns, and even laughs. He goes on to say, pulpit bashing and hellfire preaching, if there ever were, and all quite unladylike, and nowadays also quite unfashionable, even frowned upon. This is Lady Wisdom, taking it to the streets, as it were. And she kind of reminds me of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 17. Remember when Paul showed up in Athens, and he went to a place called the Areopagus, in our language today, to the Mall of America. It was the busiest place of commerce in Athens. I've been there before, and the Areopagus, or the ruins of the Areopagus, are just down the hill from the Parthenon, that famous structure, that temple where the Greeks would worship their pagan gods. That's where the Apostle Paul went with the gospel, into the streets, into the most populated places, into the public square, we might say. And this is what Lady Wisdom does. She even goes to the entrance of the city gates, an indication that what she has to say has application even to places of commerce and to the courts and to city hall. The way she enters out into the public square is a reminder, friends, that our faith belongs there. Don't let anybody ever tell you that your Christian faith needs to be a private thing inside the four walls of your own house, or even inside the four walls of your own house of worship. No, our faith needs to go into the public square, taking it to the streets. It belongs there. It's needed there. We as believers in Jesus Christ need to take it there unashamedly. And Lady Wisdom does that. She shouts, she pleads, and she's passionate about what she has to say. Wisdom cries aloud in the streets. She's not whispering this. And it kind of reminds me of what Aristotle, the great Greek philosopher, said about persuasion. I remember when I was in my doctoral program having to read The Art of Persuasion by Aristotle, and it was kind of like, you know, chewing on saltine crackers without the salt and no water. It was just real dry reading. But I remember he said three things about persuasion, the art of persuasion. He said it's like a three-legged stool. It requires logos, ethos, and pathos, Aristotle said. Logos is the content of your message. Ethos is the ethic or the character of the person who's communicating the message. And pathos is passion. And if you want to persuade somebody, Aristotle said, that three-legged stool needs to be in place. Take any one of them out and persuasion fails. Logos, ethos, and pathos. Now, Lady Wisdom is the literary personification of the logos, ethos, and pathos of God. But Jesus, remember we said we were going to find Jesus in the pages of the Proverbs? And Colossians 2 tells us that he is the full and actual expression of the wisdom of God. Jesus was the Logos who came down from heaven. Remember John chapter 1, the Word, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word dwelled among us. That's the Logos, the Word. The ethos of Jesus was unassailable. I mean, he lived a perfect life in front of us. And nobody is more passionate than the God of the Bible and this Jesus who came from heaven and died on the cross for our sins and rose triumphantly from the grave. You read the Old Testament and God's relationship with Israel, there is great passion. Jesus is the full and actual expression of the logos, ethos, and pathos of God. But in a very creative way, Solomon, in a literary personification, makes Lady Wisdom that expression as well. She's got content to her message. There's the ethic that flows through there, and she has great passion as she communicates it. And we need to listen to her. As simple as that sounds, we need to bend our ear, we need to lean into this, we need to turn down all the noisiness that is all around us. I mean, she's trying to raise her voice above the noisy places out there. We live in a very noisy culture. Have you noticed that? 24-hour news channels and radio channels and social media, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year, somebody is shouting something at us. And if we don't take the wisdom from above and raise it above that level, it'll never be heard in the places where it needs to be heard most.
Still ahead, the second half of today's message with Dr. Rod Jones, lead pastor at Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Listen to Rod's messages on demand at somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org. When you stop by, be sure to check out Starting Point, a Disciple's First Steps, a free online discipleship coaching experience created by Dr. Rod Jones. Use the Courses tab at the top of the homepage at somethinggoodradio.org. That's Starting Point, a Disciple's First Steps. Of course, listening to Lady Wisdom won't do you any good if you don't respond the right way. Here's Ron with the rest of today's Something Good Radio message. Straight talk for Mr. Smarty Pants.
So we listen to her cry. Secondly, we respond. Respond to her reproof. She goes on in verse 22 and says this, "How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you, and I will make my words known to you." I kind of get the impression that Lady Wisdom is frustrated. She's a bit exasperated. She uses the phrase, "How long," twice. How long, O simple ones? How long, O foolish ones? I get the sense she's been down this road before. Parents, can you identify this where you sat down with your kids and said, "How many times do we have to have this conversation?" That's kind of the idea here. Jesus once said to his disciples, "How long have I been with you? You know, are you so dull in your hearing that you don't quite get it?" And so she's a bit frustrated. She's been down the road with these overgrown, gullible youths who just haven't quite embraced the wisdom of God. But what I love about this is she hasn't given up on them. It's one more plea, one more conversation. And in that way, aren't you glad that the God of the Bible is patient and he's long-suffering. Oh, don't test his patience. Don't test his long-suffering. But he has a patience. He's not quick-triggered. He's not quick with his anger. He's patient and he's long-suffering. He gives us that second chance, sometimes that third and that fourth chance. And Lady Wisdom says in verse 23, if you turn at my reproof, I'll pour out my spirit. I'll make my words known to you. Just circle that word, if. The entire text really hinges on it. If you would just listen to what I have to say, if you would just turn away from your foolish ways, you have no idea what I'll do for you, says Lady Wisdom. And it kind of reminds me of another if-then construction in the Bible, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. You could probably say it with me. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. Then I will forgive their sin. Then I will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is probably the most powerful if-then construction, the most powerful conditional clause in the entire Bible. Proverbs chapter 1 is a close second. How long, O simple ones? How long, you foolish ones? If you would only turn at my reproof, then I will do this. I'll pour out my spirit on you. I will share my words with you. I will guide you through that difficult place. If, and there's no guarantee that anyone will respond, but she's pleading in the streets, respond to my reproof. And she pleads to three specific groups of people here. It's kind of like Mr. Smarty Pants 1, Mr. Smarty Pants 2, and Mr. Smarty Pants 3. The simple, the scorner, and the fool. Let's talk a little bit about these three Smarty Pants. Number one, the simple. The simple describes a category of people who believe everything. They're naive, they're gullible, and they can't discern the truth. They believe everything, and therefore they'll fall for anything. They're just that gullible and just that naive. And oh, by the way, they love tolerance and anything about that permissive ideology, because they believe anything. They just go along with the flow. These are go along with the crowd kinds of people. Proverbs 14 and verse 15 says, the simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. What does it mean to be prudent? It means to understand the necessity of caution when you're facing a situation. Remember the first President Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, he was famous for saying, wouldn't be prudent, wouldn't be prudent, all right? He understood the necessity of caution, as any great leader does when you're thinking about a major decision like war or something else. Prudence. The simple have no prudence. They believe everything and they dive into things without even giving a second thought to it and considering the necessity of caution. Well, there's a second group, and this is the scorner or the scoffer. The scoffer thinks he knows everything, and he mocks the truth. You ever met a scoffer, a scorner who mocks your beliefs? Proverbs 21 and verse 24, scoffer is the name of the arrogant, haughty man who acts with arrogant pride. If there was ever a Mr. Smarty Pants, it's the scoffer. He mocks God's truth. And he kind of, you know, comes across like an expert in everything. You ever met somebody like that? Oh, he's an expert in geopolitical relationships. He's an expert in how you're supposed to raise your kids. He's an expert in how the church is supposed to be run. I've met a few Mr. Smarty Pants in my time as a pastor. They've always got an opinion. They're an expert on everything. And they will mock your beliefs while they're trying to wear you down with their opinions and their ideas until finally you just throw your hands up in frustration and say, okay, you're right, you're right, and you escape the conversation. That's the scoffer. That's the mocker, the scorner. And what you also need to understand about the scorner is there's not much hope for him. Proverbs 15 and verse 12 says, a scoffer does not like to be reproved. No, he doesn't want to hear your opinion. He doesn't want to hear what the Word of God has to say. He doesn't want to be reproved. And he will not go to the wise, Proverbs says. And the scoffer, one more thing about him, he's usually at the center of controversy. Have you noticed that? Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 10, drive out a scoffer and strife will go out and quarreling and abuse will cease. Have you ever noticed how things kind of calm down in an organization or in the office at work or maybe even in a church when the scoffer leaves? Because the scoffer can create tremendous damage inside an organization. In fact, Proverbs 29 and verse 8 says they can, quote, even set a city aflame because they mock and they tear down with their words. There's a third person, and this is just, you know, the guy who's called a fool. A fool is somebody who doesn't know what he doesn't know, and he's ignorant of the truth. And the biggest problem that a fool has is he won't learn God's word. Do you remember Proverbs 1 and verse 7? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
The Word of God reminds us that if we think we know it all, we're even worse than a fool. Embrace the instruction you find in God's Word and run from whatever contradicts it. Well, Dr. Ron Jones joins me now to talk about his new book, The Jesus Way to Pray. Ron, so excited about the release of your book, The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. What inspired you to write this book?
Thanks for the question, Brian. You know, I think all of us, no matter how long we've been following Jesus, can use some help with our prayer life. I know I can, and I'm supposed to be a professional at this, right? I can totally understand why the disciples approached Jesus and asked him to teach them how to pray. Fortunately, the model prayer Jesus gave his disciples is recorded for us in the pages of Scripture and preserved for nearly 2,000 years. It's known worldwide as the Lord's Prayer. I call it the Jesus Way to Pray.
Ron, you say in the introduction to the book that nobody is in a better position to teach us how to pray than Jesus. What do you mean by that?
Well, Brian, to say, Lord, teach us to pray, as Jesus' disciples did, is kind of like asking Michael Jordan or LeBron James to teach us how to play the game of basketball, or Leonardo da Vinci to teach us how to paint a masterpiece like The Last Supper or the Mona Lisa, or Michelangelo to teach us how to sculpt a marble stone into David or the Pietà. Truly, nobody is in a better position to teach us how to pray than Jesus.
Thanks so much for sharing this important resource with us, Pastor. Again, that book is called The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. Order your copy for a donation of $25 or more. Share it with a friend by requesting a 2-pack for $50, a 4-pack for $75, or an 8-pack for $150 or more. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099. Or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456.
And I want to be careful here not to suggest that every time you face calamity or distress or some kind of, you know, difficult time in your life, it's because you got some sin in your life. It's because you've ignored the counsel of God. Be careful with that because, you know, Job tells us that that's not always true. Job was a righteous man. He hadn't sinned in any way, and great calamity came upon his life. And make sure you're not one of Job's friends that come, you know, into somebody else's life and, you know, wax eloquently about, well, you know, you have this cancer over here or you lost your job over here. There must be some sin in your life. Be careful with that. But it is a time for self-examination. Not for you to examine somebody else's life, but for self-examination, right? Anytime, you know, calamity strikes.
That's tomorrow in part 2 of Dr. Ron Jones' message, Straight Talk for Mr. Smarty Pants. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying so long and thanks for listening.